This is lesson HBS 132, and I've titled this lesson, Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 2. And a subtitle to this lesson would be Manifestations of the Spirit. Well, let's talk a little bit about the reason for these gifts, administrations, and operations that we talked about last week. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start reading there with verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. This is the Holy Spirit telling the body of Christ that he wants to teach them about spiritual gifts, or just spirituals is really the way it's written in the original Greek. Gifts is not in the original Greek. So the Holy Spirit's saying, brethren, body of Christ, I want to teach you today concerning spirituals. That means things of the Spirit, because he doesn't want us ignorant. And then the chapter goes on and talks about some of these things. And it talks about them in this chapter, a little bit in the next chapter, and then in chapter 14 again. So let's now move down to verse 4 and get into this. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man or woman to profit with all. So we learn here that there are diversities of gifts, differences of administrations, and diversities, again, of operations. But it's the same God which works all in all. And we also learn in verse 7 that the manifestations of the Spirit are given to every man to profit. So let's now take a look at the reason these gifts, administrations, and operations have been given to the world, and specifically in our lesson to the body of Christ. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. These are manifestations of the Spirit that are spontaneously given. That means you can't predict ahead of time when these gifts are going to manifest themselves, and they only do it as the Spirit wills. They do it to profit someone or some group. Okay, it's always, all these gifts we'll find out, and administrations and operations, always are given by God to profit or to help someone. So first of all, why are they given? Well, first of all, we said it's to profit someone here in verse 7. We see the every gift or manifestation of the Spirit will help someone or profit someone. Now let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 4 and see why the administrations are given. We're talking here in this little brief introduction here, why these gifts are given. We see the manifestations of the Spirit are given to profit someone. You know, that word in the Greek means to be better for it. That prophet, I looked it up, and Thayer says, a renowned theologian who studies the Word of God in the Greek, says that a better word for prophet would be to be better for it. So when God manifests these gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit, it always leaves us better for it. Okay, now let's look at some of the administrations of the Lord. Now in verse 5 of chapter 12, these administrations in my margin is a little 2 beside administrations. And I look over in the margin and it says offices or ministries. So these differences of administrations by Jesus are really offices or ministries. So we're talking here about not spontaneous manifestations of the Spirit, but rather permanent gifts or ministries given to the body of Christ. For example, we'll see in this particular chapter in Ephesians 4 when we get there, we'll recognize these gifts as residing permanently in the people that God gives these to. Now let's go ahead and read here, starting with verse 8, or verse 7. But unto every one of us is given gifts And this is in chapter 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now the Greek word for gifts here in the last chapter was charis, which means a temporary manifestation of the Spirit. Here the word gifts in the King James is domata, which means not an instantaneous manifestation like charis was, but a calling that abides for life given to men or women. Okay? Now, go on verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, now here are the administrations of the Lord that we were read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and here they are listed. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So there are five here given full-time domatas, or gifts, if you want it. It's also translated gifts, but these are permanent manifestations in the person. These are permanently residing in the person. And you'll recognize these as being ministries that we always think of as permanently residing in people, so, like a pastor. He's a pastor. He's a pastor for life, usually. When he gets out of Bible school, or if he went to Bible school, he more or less stays a pastor until he retires. In the same way with these other administrations of the Lord, or ministries of the Lord, or offices even of the Lord. Okay, now, why are they given? This is the subject of this section in our outline, is what is the reason for these? We found out the reasons for the manifestation of the Spirit were always to profit someone, or for people to be better for it. Now, in this one, it tells us right in the text here why they're given. If we'll read verse 12, 13, and 14. Why are these gifts, in this case, ministries or offices, given? Well, it's for the perfecting of the saints being the members of the body of Christ. It's for the work of the ministry that could be to the body of Christ or to the world, or for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. These are the reason these gifts are given: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then God goes on and tells us why they're given, or how long they'll be given. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man. It says perfect in my King James Version, but it means mature. Until we become mature men and women, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That simply means that these gifts, these administrations, these offices will be given to bring us into a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We will never attain to the ministry or gifting without measure that Jesus had, but would always be by measure. That means not the servant is not greater than his master, in other words. In other words, we're never going to have all of these gifts operating in our lives, or all of these offices or administrations, but each one of us, not each one of us, but the ones that do have these, will have one of these particular things. I mean, you're not going to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, all five like Jesus. It could be shown that Jesus manifested all these ministries in his life, that 3 years he was on earth, but we won't do that. It will be a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? And so we'll manifest, if we do it all, as a full-time ministry in one area, like we'll manifest minister as an apostle or an evangelist or a teacher or a pastor. Sometimes pastors are minister in both pastors and teaching. But no one of us will have all five. That's what this means by a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And why? Again, another reason: that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Folks, I think we've all seen people that have been tossed to and fro, Christians, I'm talking about, members of the body, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. They've always got a new doctrine. They've got a new thing that's just the latest thing that we all need to hear about, and they tell us about it, and we always think, these people are a little off, you know. Well, God doesn't want us to be off. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to not to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. He wants us to be solid, mature Christians that are ready for the meat of the Word. And so I just give you these two to show the reason God gives us these manifestations and administrations. Now, the third one we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was operations of God. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about this, but not too much. That's in verse 6, and there are diversities operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. Why does God have these diverse operations? And how are they different from the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit or the administrations of the Lord? Well, first of all, let me just say this. This is a little bit, how should I say this? People aren't in complete agreement what this diversities of operations of God mean. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's not really a manifestation of the Spirit or administration of the Lord for the body. It's just something God does on His own, so to speak. But let's talk about that a little bit. Diversities of operations of God are given to either demonstrate the sovereign act of God, not using a human as a channel, or they're to manifest diverse operations of God's power. Now, let me just explain this a little bit. First of all, talk about demonstrating sovereign acts of God, the diversities of sovereign acts of God. These are things that God doesn't have to use a human as a channel. He just does something. For example, we talked about in our last lesson in John chapter 5 when Jesus went down to heal the man by the pool at Bethesda. There were people laying about these porches waiting for the moving of the water by an angel, and whoever got in first was healed. Now, folks, that was just a manifestation of God's power to heal people, to profit them, to do something good for them, but it didn't require any human intervention from anyone else. He just did it when he wanted to. It was just a sovereign act of God. Some other examples of sovereign acts of God in the Bible, and there's many, would be creation. When God created the universe and the worlds and our world, our earth, he did this on his own. He didn't require a channel or a human to operate through. He just did it. Another example would be the flood. God decided to bring a flood upon the earth. Yes, he did use Noah to build an ark, but this was a sovereign act of God, the flood itself. Another one might be, if you recall, when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. God appeared to Jesus, spoke to him. The disciples could hear the voice of God, the three that were there, Peter, James, and John. But this was just something God did on his own. Yes, he called Jesus to come to the Mount, but God, this was God's decision. This was a sovereign act of God. Another one might be actually man's redemption. God didn't work through a human person except in the sense that Jesus came here as the Son of God, came here as God but ministered as a man. But what my point here being, this was a sovereign act of God to redeem man. He didn't need men like us in the body of Christ to carry out this thing. And so it was a sovereign act of God. And there's many more. So one type of the diversities of operations of God would be to demonstrate sovereign acts of God, not requiring using a human as a channel. Now, there's another side to this whole thing, and that might be for God to manifest diverse operations of God's power accomplished in different ways. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you look back in the Gospels, Jesus was involved in the healing of six different blind people, and they all occurred in different ways. Now, yes, Jesus was used as a channel in manifesting these gifts, but they were diverse operations of God. Each one was different, which I think is kind of interesting, but we don't have time to get into that right now. But I'm just pointing out that when Jesus was used in healing these six different blind people, or six different times blind people were healed would be a better way to say it in the Gospels, it all happened in different ways. One of them required faith on the part of the blind people. Another one, Jesus just rubbed spit in a blind person's eyes. Another one, he made clay of spit and rubbed it in their eyes and told them to go wash off in the pool of Siloam. What I'm pointing out here and trying to bring across is the fact that there were diverse operations of God's power here. There were different ways God does things. You never want to try to figure out how God's going to do something or get stuck in a method. Like, well, God used me this one way, this one time to do something. No, God can do it in many different ways. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And He may want to manifest something in different ways at different times. And I'm just bringing this out as an example of the diversities of operations of God's power. Now, having said that, since these aren't gifts or ministries, these I'm talking about now the diversities of operations of God, since they're not really gifts or ministries in the body, I only include this here for completeness in explaining 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. And I'm not going to mention this again after this. I'm just, like I say, including it here for completeness in trying to bring some light to what it means is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, where it talks about the diversities of operations of God. Now, for the rest of the lesson, I'm going to be talking about the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit, and then probably in the next, after we finish with this topic, we'll begin into the administrations of the Lord, which we just talked about in Ephesians chapter 4. But now let's go on now and discuss the manifestations or gifts, some people call them, of the Spirit. Now, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because that's where these gifts are introduced, or these manifestations, I should say, really, are introduced, and discuss these in a little bit more detail. Now, let me just bring out one thing here. I do have a series called Gifts of the Spirit, which goes into pretty good detail on each one of these gifts. As a matter of fact, as I recall, I took a one lesson for each gift. So it's quite detailed. But I'm not going to do that here, since we have this other lesson series already available. But what I'm going to do is briefly describe these gifts after give a little preliminary here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these gifts are manifestations of the Spirit. As I said, this gift word is Greek word charis, which means a spontaneous manifestation of the Spirit given to immediately profit a person or group of people. Okay? Faith is not required by the ones receiving this gift, but only by the one exercising the gift. That is, when these gifts are exercised, it does take some faith for the person that's used as a channel to minister this gift to step out in faith and use the gift. For example, let's say prophecy. You may have a word you feel inside of prophecy for the group to bring edification, exhortation, or comfort to the group. But it's going to take some faith on your part to speak that out. It does not require faith on the group hearing the word of edification, exhortation, or comfort. But it does take faith on the one ministering the gift. And so that's the way faith is required on one end, but not on the other end of this particular gift. Now, one thing interesting about these nine gifts, or as I should say, manifestations of the Spirit, is three gifts say something, three gifts do something, and three gifts reveal something. And so that's kind of interesting that these nine gifts are divided up this way. Three gifts say something, three gifts do something, and three gifts reveal something. Now I'd like to just go into a brief description of these nine manifestations of the Spirit. Now remember, when you hear this, all of them are done as the Spirit wills, and all of them always profit someone or some group. All right? I'll say that once more. All of these nine manifestations of the Spirit are supernatural, and they always profit someone. All right? So let's just kind of go through these nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit that are given spontaneously and immediately profit a person or a group. Now, let's go talk about these. First of all, let me read through all of them, and then we'll take each one and very briefly discuss each gift or manifestation. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, let me just say, you realize it says here, to another, to another, to another. I think one way to read this is that that means that no one of us is going to have all of these nine gifts, because it says to another. It doesn't say that we're all going to have these nine gifts. Now, I find that maybe during a lifetime, you might be used to minister most of these gifts, but you cannot call these gifts up as you will. You can't say, well, I'm given the word of knowledge. You're not given anything. These are manifested as the Spirit wills. Or I've been given the word of knowledge. Or I've been given the faith, special faith by the Holy Spirit. Or I've been given gifts of healing. You might be used in these gifts occasionally, but to no one man are these things given to such that you call them up as you will. Now, I say this, and I'm emphasizing this, because these gifts have been, how do I put this? Sometimes a person, let's put it this way, sometimes a person that's been used occasionally in one of these gifts may be a minister that travels around and has maybe, let's say he's an evangelist. He's been given a full-time administration or office from Jesus to be an evangelist. And let's say he's occasionally used in some of these manifestations or gifts. Well, that's great. Why? Because the gifts are always given to profit someone, and that's good. However, let's say the man has been used of God to bring about the gifts of healing to a group. Well, let's say he goes to another town, and all of a sudden the Spirit is not manifesting these gifts that evening or that day. Well, sometimes the temptation is there to try to manifest these gifts on your own, simply because you've been used this way in the past. Folks, that would be wrong. This is as the Spirit wills. You can't dredge these gifts up by yourself. And when people try to do this on their own, when the Spirit isn't manifesting these gifts, it usually falls flat. Things don't happen the way they're supposed to happen. People don't get healed. Or it's just kind of a mess, to be honest with you. So I'm only bringing this out not to discredit anyone. I haven't mentioned anyone's name or anything like that. I'm just bringing this out to show that these gifts or administrations are manifested as the Spirit wills, okay? And no one person can say, I have this gift. No, the Holy Spirit manifests these gifts as He wills. So with that understanding now, let's go down and discuss each one of these gifts very briefly. As I said before, I already have a series of lessons where I take each of these gifts one by one and take a full lesson to describe and give examples of that gift. I'm not going to do that here. I'm going to go very briefly through these gifts and discuss them to some degree, just for completeness in this lesson, so that people have an overall flavor of what these gifts do and what they are. And we'll first discuss the word of wisdom. Now, this is a gift that reveals something. Let me just talk what the three gifts are that reveal something, and the three gifts that do something, and the three gifts that say something. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits reveal something. The gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles are gifts that do something. And finally, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy say something. That's the way one might subdivide what these gifts do. That they some say something, some do something, and some reveal something. All right, now let's talk about the word of wisdom. That's a gift that reveals something. The word of wisdom is a revelation by the Holy Spirit of a future plan or purpose in the mind of God. An example in the Bible on this might be when Jesus foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. You remember he told his disciples that the Jerusalem would be destroyed. They were remarking how wonderful the city and how long it took to build. And Jesus said, these stones will not be left one upon another. They will be destroyed and they will come down. That would be an example of the word of wisdom. It's a foretelling given to Jesus by the Holy Spirit of a future plan or purpose in the mind of God. A further example is given in the book of Acts, where Agabus foretold a coming famine. He also foretold that Paul was going to go to Jerusalem, and when he did, he would suffer. So you see, in each case, that would be a foretelling of something that's about that's going to happen in the future. Agabus telling of the coming famine, and also about what awaited Paul in Jerusalem. So these would be examples of the word of wisdom. Usually in my life, this word of wisdom has come through dreams. One time I had a dream of a church service, and in the dream, it was detailed, everything that happened in the church service. And later that same day, when I went to church, exactly what I dreamed happened in that church service. And I'm not going to go any more detail than that and why it happened or anything like that, except to say that it foretold something in the future. One time, in a dream, God showed me something that was be a future event in the ministry he called me to as a teacher. And at that time, I was doing some Bible studies in homes, and God revealed to me earlier on, before this ever happened, that I would start, have a ministry that would begin in the home, he said to me, and later bring help to many others. Well, as it turned out, without me trying on my own, really thinking about it after that, I began to have Bible studies in my home, my wife and I. And after that had been going on for some years, God gave me a dream which showed me in the dream a group of people that were in a Bible study. And in the dream, this one person, this couple, I never could get their eye. They were always looking down. They were a black couple, and they were always just looking down in the dream. And when I, in my dream, I at the end called for people to come forward that wanted to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this couple got up along with several other couples and came forward. And all these people received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And this couple never raised their eyes. I couldn't really see their faces. And then they went back and sat down. And then I woke up. And God spoke to me and he said, you're going to move into a new phase of your ministry. This is basically what he said, not word for word. And in this new phase of your ministry, you'll be ministering to people you will never see with your eyes. You will never meet them personally. You will never know these people. You will never meet eye contact with these people. You will meet them from afar, so to speak. And at the time, I didn't know exactly what this meant. But what it really meant was, I found out later when God told me to take these lessons that I taught in the homes over all these years, and he told me always to tape these lessons or record these lessons, And I never knew exactly why he wanted me to do this until later when he said, all right, now take all these lessons that you recorded over the years, and I want you to put them on the internet in the form of a school, and that's what you're listening to right now, I think. And you will never meet these people firsthand or never make eye contact with these people, but you will nevertheless minister to these people, and that will be the final phase of your ministry, in which I prophesied years ago that you would have a special ministry that would begin in your home and later give help to many others. The many others now are these people who will listen and hear these lessons on the internet. And so God showed me through this dream, really a word of wisdom, that I would minister to people in this new way, that I would never meet them, never make eye contact with them, but nevertheless would bring help to these people through this ministry. Well, anyway, I only mention that because it's another example of a word of wisdom, which is, it's a revelation by the Holy Spirit of a future plan or purpose in the mind of God. And I've given you several examples here. This gift always reveals something. Now let's move down to the word of knowledge and talk about that a little bit. The word of knowledge is also a gift that reveals something. This is a revelation of the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the present or past known by God, but not to the people he's bringing this gift to, okay? Something that God knows that's not a future event, in other words, but it's something in the present or past that he's bringing forth as a word of knowledge. Let me give some examples. Do you remember in John chapter 4, where Jesus was at the well, and she met this woman at the well in John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, Jesus brought forth certain facts that he could only known supernaturally. And I'm tempted to go back and read a little bit of this so you have a more of a flavor, because some of us aren't as familiar with the Bible as others. Okay, let's just go back with this one, and I'll read about it, starting in verse 5. Then cometh Jesus to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Joseph, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be to him, in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, I chuckle a little here because I've always gotten kind of a, I don't know. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said thou hast no, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Now, this is an example of the word of knowledge. Jesus is at the well. This woman comes to him, And God wants to minister to this woman through Jesus. So the Holy Spirit manifests the gift we call now the word of knowledge, where he gives him supernatural knowledge of a past event in this woman's life that he had no other way of knowing. All right? And what was that knowledge? That she had had five husbands in the past, and the man she was living with now wasn't her husband. So there is an example of the word of knowledge. Now, I'm not going to go on and go any further with this example. I just wanted to bring this out because this is an example of the word knowledge. Now, what would be another example of the word of knowledge? Well, last lesson we talked about John 5, which is the next chapter, about the man by the pool of Bethesda, where Jesus went and healed this man. And it, since it's just in the next chapter, just turn there. And Jesus, it said in verse 5, there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Well, here's another example of the gift of the word of knowledge. Jesus knew, first of all, he knew that he was to go to minister to that man. That would be an example of the word of knowledge, where God told him through the Holy Spirit to go to the pool of Bethesda. There'd be a man there that he would be healing. So Jesus goes to the pool. That'd be one word of knowledge, but we don't see this specifically in the word of God, but that's how he got there. Then as he gets there, he knows the man has been now a long time in that particular case. That means he knew that he had had this infirmity for a long time. How did he know this? By the word of knowledge, which is a revelation by the Holy Spirit of a certain fact in the present or past that's known by God. And what did God know? That this man had been there 38 years. And so he told Jesus to go there. It says here that Jesus knew he'd been a long time in that case. Now, if we skip forward in this thing, after the man got healed, he's being questioned by the Pharisees. And then Jesus meets him later in the temple in verse 14 and says, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Here again, Jesus had the word of knowledge. He knew a fact in the mind of God. That is, that this man had sinned. And that sin, in this particular case, had played a part in this man's having this infirmity 38 years. Now, don't jump to the conclusion that if someone has an infirmity or has a sickness, that it's because they've sinned. No, that's not the case, necessarily. Could be, but it's not necessarily true. In this case, it was true that the word knowledge came forth, revealing that to Jesus, which he also revealed to this man to profit him so that he would remain healed. There are many, many more examples of the word of knowledge in Jesus' ministry and also in the ministries of the people in the book of Acts. I can't bring out all these examples. I can tell you another personal example of the word of knowledge. Again, in a dream one time, I had a dream. Now, folks, 99.9% of dreams are just that, dreams that mean nothing, have no real meaning. Once in a while, God will give you a word of wisdom or word of knowledge in a dream. I just revealed a couple of particular dreams I had where the word of wisdom was manifested over a course of, folks, 30 or 40 years, okay? So this is not something that happens every day. An example of the word of knowledge came to me in a dream one time, and I had this dream, and God again was using this to profit me in the ministry he called me to, which was the ministry of teaching. And in this dream, I saw in the dream my wife and I, and we were, if you can imagine, this large grassy knoll, fairly steep, but just perfect grass everywhere. Not a weed, not a flower, not a tree. Just a grassy knoll, fairly steeply rounded at the top, sort of parabolic shaped. If you want to know what it looked like. And in this dream, my wife and I were pushing this cart up a hill. And one of us was at the front, I forget which one of us, and one was at the rear pushing, one was at the front pulling. And in this cart was a gold word that said word. It was large. It was larger than the cart. In fact, it was tipped on end in the cart, and part of the it almost looked like if someone had cut out letters made of gold and put them in this cart, and the cart couldn't quite contain these words, so it was tipped in the cart, and part of it was hanging off the front. If you can imagine a cart, the cart had stakes in it. It had little kind of gates around it, I don't know what you call it. If you look, imagine a child's wagon, but the wagon has little sides to it. Okay, well, this was a bigger wagon, and it was a cart, more like a cart, and it had sides to it. And the word in the cart was tilted so that the front part, the W, was kind of sticking out over the front of the cart. And the rest of the ORD was in the cart. And it was golden. And this cart was being pushed up the hill by my wife and I. She's my helper, has always been my helper in the ministry. She made it possible for the ministry to go forward by always being agreeable to having these meetings in our home, for generously giving up of her time in getting everything ready every week, in always making sure there were refreshments for the people, just being my helper in every way to make this possible. So God looked at her as an equal part of this ministry. And anyway, both of us were pushing this cart up the hill. And the cart was about halfway up the hill. And God revealed to me through this, I knew what it meant. It meant that we hadn't reached the top of the hill yet. But we were on the way. We were on God's path. We were fulfilling His will by having this ministry, both of us. And we were making an effort to bring the Word of God to people. But the thing that God had called us to ultimately do, we hadn't arrived at yet. We were doing His will. We were proceeding on the path to doing what He wanted us to do. We were doing what He wanted us to do. We were on the path up the hill, but we hadn't really reached the summit yet. And the summit being really what I'm doing right now, I think, and that is being a light at the top of the hill. As Jesus said in one of the Gospels, He said, a light on a hill cannot be hid. We hadn't got to the top of the hill yet, but we were striving to get there. And really, I think the Internet and these teachings being on the Internet is a light that can go throughout the world now and not just be a local thing, but can go all around the world as the Lord sees fit and reach every nation, every person that the Lord moves to come to this website and hear the Word of God. Well, anyway, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but the Lord gave me a dream that was really a word of knowledge that revealed something, and it revealed that we were in God's will, that we hadn't completely arrived at the fullness of what He had for us to do, but we were on His path and in His will in doing what we were doing right then. And it was also a revelation of where I was in preparation for this final, like I say, ministry to the entire world through the Internet that was prophesied many years earlier in that word of wisdom I discussed where, well, maybe I didn't discuss this, but in a word of wisdom very early after I became born again and filled with God's Spirit, the Lord said through a prophet to me, and this is one of the few times when someone said to me, God has a word for you, that really was from God, okay? And He said that you will, among other things, have a ministry that will begin in your home and later give help to many others. And so this, God was just showing me I was on track and fulfilling His will, and we hadn't gotten to the top of the hill yet, but we were on His way and to keep working as we were. So anyway, another that was another example of the Word of Knowledge. I think that's enough for today. I think I'd like to pick up with this at the gift of faith on our next lesson. And so we finished a couple of the manifestation of the Spirit, the Word of Wisdom, which reveals something, and the Word of Knowledge reveals something. And we'll begin again in the next lesson with the gift of faith, or the gift of what I like to call it, special faith. And so then, that's all for today, and we'll pick up here next lesson. This is the homework for lesson HBS 132. First question, true or false? The gifts or manifestations of the Spirit are full-time ministries given to profit the body of Christ. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. And we'll cover that, why this is false, in the next question. True or false? No, these nine gifts are spontaneously given as the Spirit wills through a Spirit-filled believer. Is this true or false? Well, this is true. The gifts or manifestations of the Spirit are not full-time ministries. And as I say here, they are spontaneously given at the moment as the Holy Spirit wills. You can never dredge these up yourself. You really don't know when they're coming. They're only as the Holy Spirit wills and given and exercised at His unction. So the first question then is false, and the second question is true. Next question. The reason for these nine gifts is so that the one or ones to whom the gift is ministered may profit. Is this true or false? Well, folks, this is true. These gifts aren't given, really, to the one who's ministering the gift. They're given to the ones who receive the gift. For example, if you're used in giving out the word of wisdom to a group or a person, the person you give this to is the one that profits, not you. So the one who ministers the gift is not the one that profits, really. It's the one to whom the gift is ministered. So this question is true. True or false? Three gifts reveal something, three gifts say something, and three gifts do something. Is this true or false? This is true. And we'll cover what these things do, say, and reveal in the following questions. Name the three gifts that say something. Okay, we talked about this in the lesson. What are the three gifts that say something? Well, that would be the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Name the three gifts that do something. That would be the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. Name the three gifts that reveal something. That would be the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Next question, true or false? The administrations of the Lord are permanent ministries given by the Lord to perfect and edify the body and to do the work of the ministry. Is this true or false? Well, this is true. These are the permanent ministries, full-time if you want to call them that, ministries given by the Lord to perfect and edify the body. Next question, fill in the blanks. Name the full-time ministries or offices given in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, what were those full-time ministries? Well, they are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. In the nine manifestations or gifts of the Spirit, faith is not required by the one or ones receiving the gift, but only by the one ministering the gift, since they must step out in faith to minister the gift. It's kind of a long true or false statement, but it is true. Let me explain it a little bit. In the nine manifestations or gifts of the Spirit, faith is really only required in the one who ministers the gift, simply because when they get the unction of the Spirit to minister the gift, they have to step out in faith and minister the gift. For example, if you're ministering the gift of prophecy, you have that unction inside maybe to speak something out, but you're not quite sure if you haven't been using this way very often, whether it's just you or the Holy Ghost. Well, sometimes, especially when you're learning to use these gifts, you just have to step out in faith and exercise the gift when you're convinced that this is something from the Holy Spirit. Now, that's faith on the one ministering the gift. But the person who receives the gift, like the gift of prophecy, the working of miracles, whatever, they don't have to exercise any particular
faith normally. So in the way this question is worded then, the answer to the question is true. The word of knowledge is a revelation by the Holy Spirit of a future plan or purpose in the mind of God. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. It doesn't follow our definition that we used in the lesson. Let's continue now and we'll clear this up. True or false? No, the word of knowledge is a revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the past known by God. Is that true or false? Well, that one's false too. Now, let me explain. The word of knowledge is a revelation by the Spirit of God of certain facts in the past or the present. That's why that second question is false, the way it's stated. It could be the past or the present. So, the word of knowledge is a revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the past or present known by God. So, this question is false. Now, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom is the one that's a revelation of the Holy Spirit of a future plan or purpose in the mind of God. So, when these two questions kind of go together, the answer to the first question is false, because it's the word of wisdom that's a revelation of the Holy Spirit of a future plan or purpose in the mind of God. And the second one is false because we left out the fact that it could be in the present as well as the past for the word of knowledge. Next question. Give one example in the Bible of someone having something revealed by God about the present or past, that would be the word of knowledge, that was not mentioned in the lesson. In other words, I want another example of the word of knowledge in the Bible. And you must look this up on your own and answer this question. I'm not going to give you an answer to this one. I want you to research this in the Bible and give me an example of someone having something revealed by God about the present or past that they couldn't have known on their own. That would be the word of knowledge. I want you to fill in the blank here. Now, the next question is like this one, only it concerns the word of wisdom. Give one example in the Bible of someone having something revealed by God about a future event. That would be the word of wisdom that was not mentioned in the lesson. So on the second question, I want an example of the word of wisdom that was not mentioned in the lesson. And I want you to research this on your own from the Bible and answer this question for me. I'm not going to give you the answer to this one. You have to research it yourself. Next question. The Holy Spirit spoke through the Apostle Paul about the gifts or manifestation of the Spirit so the body of Christ would not be blank about them. And then I want a scripture. Why did the Holy Spirit speak through the Apostle Paul about the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit so the body of Christ would not be what about them? What goes in this blank would be ignorant. In other words, the Holy Spirit spoke through the Apostle Paul about the gifts or manifestation of the Spirit so the body of Christ would not be ignorant about them. And the scripture here would be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Next question. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 tells a further ingredient that is necessary for the one ministering any gift of the Spirit to have to properly minister in the gift. What is it? Well, the ingredient one has to have to effectively and properly minister in the gifts is love. We need to be walking in love. And the first three verses in chapter 13 tell us that if we don't have love and we try to minister this gift, we're going to be as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And even if we had enough faith, we could remove mountains and have not love, we are nothing. And even if we gave all our goods to feed the poor, and though I might give my body to be burned and have not love, it would profit me nothing. So in these verses, we see that if we speak with the tongues of men or of angels, verse 1, that would be, you know, diverse tongues, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I prophesy, that's another one of the gifts, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that'd be the word of knowledge. And though I have all faith, this gift of faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. So what goes in this blank is the word love, or you could say agape love. That's the God kind of love. That's the kind of love God is. Next question. The Godhead is composed of blank, 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 comma, blank, and the blank, blank. A lot of blanks there. Let's fill them in. The Godhead is composed of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Or you could even say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't really care how you answer this question, except I want to see all three members of the Godhead listed here. That would be God the Father, God the Son, or Jesus, whatever you want to call him, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Next question. Blank is our Lord, blank, blank, blank is our blank, and the blank, blank is the one who leads us, teaches us, brings things to our remembrance, and shows us things to come. What goes in these blanks in this rather long question? And that's the last question. All right, here's what goes in there. Jesus is our Lord. God the Father is our Father, not just Jesus' Father, but our Father too. And the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us, teaches us, brings things to our remembrance, and shows us things to come. And John 14:26 and John 16:13 tell us about the Holy Spirit being the one who leads us, teaches us, brings things to our remembrance, and shows us things to come. And these last two, you can see the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Brings things to our remembrance could be the word of knowledge. Shows us things to come could be the word of wisdom. So that then completes the homework for this lesson.